Welcome back to the Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is coming to the Park West next Saturday night for a night of stand-up. Chicago, make sure you get your bread and milk because Vic DiBattista is coming to town.
You know, I know I'm Italian. I grew up in a basement. That's why I know I'm Italian. Italians don't use upstairs. That's the museum. Yeah. I didn't see upstairs. I was 5 years old. That's where the Colts went on Thanksgiving. The hell did I know? You can't use the furniture. It's all wrapped in plastic. Like, Grandma, you expecting rain in the house? Why do you do this? Even a dog is wrapped in plastic. Let him out. Look, he's trying to bark. He's fogging up. Let him out.
Vic DiBattista started doing stand-up in New York City in the early 80s and made a name for himself in the tri-state area, but he found a much larger and worldwide audience when he went to YouTube. Right before Hurricane Sandy hit that area, Vic posted a quick clip about going to the store to get supplies.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my God, I gotta get the bread and milk. 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 Oh my God. I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
That video went viral with millions and millions of hits, and Vic was able to use that to start a tremendous digital career and to boost himself into mainstream show business. He was in Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and he continues to get work in various films and sitcoms. The self-described working class zero, Vic DiBattista, is coming to the Park West next Saturday night. But first, he's on the line with us tonight. Vic, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, too.
You know, for you being a New York comic, you obviously also get to get out on the road. Talk about your experiences with Chicago to come here and play Park West. What's it mean to you?
Well, you know what? I used to do it many years ago. I worked Zanies back in the late 1980s. So this is nice. You know, I finally got a nice following, and I'm looking forward to it. Hey, look, any town that Sinatra sings about is okay by me.
You have a professional stand-up, and you have grinded it out for decades. But when you come to Chicago this time around in the Park West, you're talking about a whole different thing. You have a huge following from your digital work. Talk about that.
You know, like I said, it's been a while since I've been to Chicago, and I'm really looking forward to it, you know, because basically, you know, the Northeast is a lock. I got a great following here. This is more or less like a test now to see how I'm going to do in the Midwest. And I, according to, you know, the messages and the post I get on Facebook, I think it's going to be a nice turnout. I'm looking forward to it.
To make the transition as a stand-up comedian who works rooms and really hones your craft on stages in New York City and, like you said, the Northeast, to make the transition to a digital comic, to have a YouTube channel, to do the How Long I Gotta Wait stuff or the or even the bread and milk, how easy or how hard was that to make that transition from something that you knew so well, being on stage and working a mic and working a room, to being in front of a camera and trying to connect with an audience?
Well, when Bread and Milk went viral, that's when it really started. I wouldn't be where I am right now. I wouldn't have the following without the social media. To me, it's pretty easy. You know, I walk around with my cell phone. I do a video, takes, you know, a minute, and boom, it's out there. And the social media between Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I mean, I have more views than a sitcom would get. The past 2 weeks, I reached 14 million news feeds on Facebook alone. I'm 57, and I'm using a tool that these young comics use, you know?
I love it, because watching all your stuff today, what's great about it is that it's so many comics. You even mentioned young comics. They're trying to find their voice. They're trying to use social media to be able to put their stand-up and their comedy out. But at the same time, you need to find and craft your voice in that space. It can't just be, I've got a funny bit, I'm going to go to YouTube and see if it works. How much have you put into finding your voice in this digital space as opposed to the stage?
You know what it is? I'm relatable. I dubbed myself as, you know, the working class comic. You know, I talk about being married, having kids. Look, I'm not clever. I'm not one of those edgy comics. People relate to me. I just put it out there, and I'm getting a huge audience that, you know, it's like the silent, I'm like the voice, the silent majority in this this world that seems confused at the moment. There's a lot of negativity. And like I said, all my stuff is positive. Another big thing is I never talk politics. which is a big mistake.
Right, right. Well, I will say, you know, it is positivity and it is there's no politics. The rage and the rants, when you get mad about what went wrong with customer service, or you get mad about somebody opening their door into yours at a parking lot, there is something relatable about it, but you're able to channel your rage in this way that it almost feels like your head's going to pop off, and it's all for my entertainment.
I have this anger, but yet I'm making a point, and I'm making it funny. You know, I do a character called Ticked Off Vic. That's what you're talking about, Ticked Off Vic. There's a Ticked Off Vic in all of us. You know, it's not only that. I have characters. I do this Tony Gaga. I do this guy called That Guy. He doesn't say a word. I talk about animals, which I got my cat. My cat now has fans. It's insane. You know, it's just, I'm not a one-trick pony. There's different dimensions, and that's the beauty of it. There's so much. And this doesn't even have anything to do with my stand-up.
Yeah, right.
You know, people come to my shows. They don't know I'm a stand-up comic. They think I'm going to stand there and yell out bread and milk for 45 minutes. It's amazing. The vignettes are entirely different than the stand-up. You know, before bread and milk, you know, I was a school bus driver. I drove a garbage truck. My story's a great story. It's been an amazing ride. You know, the fruits of my labor is finally, I'm finally enjoying it. It's you know, I'm just riding the wave.
What's great about your stand-up is that it plays a lot about you being an Italian-American, and it's a lot about your growing up. The great bit on YouTube about if you're Italian, you know you're Italian because you spend most of your time in the basement. The family's in the basement.
Exactly.
My wife's family, it's like to a T. It's like the house is there, but everybody's down in the basement. but this concept that you were, before Bread and Milk, I mean, you were kind of known as a comic that, you know, Italian-American comic that is making fun of ethnicity and that kind of stuff. But how do you change your act? Do you go back to that act after Bread and Milk? Or do you have to find new stuff that's going to relate with the people who are coming after that part of your career has already played out?
Well, it's funny you said that, because now that I'm, you know, like one night I tried doing new stuff and people are yelling out the old stuff. It's like I created Frankenstein monsters. I'm on stage and they're yelling out bits now during my act. It's a compliment, but it throws me off sometimes. You know, I do old and new each show, you know, because people want the old stuff. But then again, you got to change it up. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. It helps if you're Italian to see my act, but you don't have to be Italian. Because I'm sure every ethnic group has the plastic around the covers and the picture of Jesus Christ shaking hands with Frank Sinatra. Well, I guess Jews don't, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. I always think about it because for you to get on stage and do this, you know, reading about your story and knowing that you started in the early 80s, to have a viral sensation 30 years after the fact, in a spot where I would assume that stand-up comedy was something that was a part-time job, meaning you're finding other ways to find income like a lot of comics do as they get older. Was it tough for you to think about your career after that viral sensation to say, hey, I'm going to be a professional full-time stand-up comedian?
Well, I'm already doing stand-up full-time now, 3 years now. Literally, 3 years ago, everything was the perfect storm. I got a manager who sat me down and said, look, you don't need to drive a school bus anymore. And then Kevin James put me in Mall Cop 2, and that was another thing. And then between that, Bread and Milk, and the following in the social media, that enabled me to do this finally full time. When I drove the garbage truck, I used to drive the truck to Dangerfields in New York City. I would go on stage, do my act, get back in the truck, and finish the route. You know, I mean,
wow.
It's just incredible. It's the past 3-4 years, I would say, it's been amazing. And I'm just, like I said before, I'm just riding the wave. I just, you know, I try to put out 2 or 3 videos a day. I'm selling out clubs and theaters. They're adding shows now. I mean, I'm doing the Borgata in Atlantic City the same night. I'm sure you heard of this guy from Chicago, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, of course.
Me and him are in the same building, and I still sold out. That's surreal. Amazing. It really is.
Yeah. It's also good, as someone who follows comedy understands, that it does take a lot of work to be able to hone your craft, but also a lot of it is just persistence and perseverance, being able to be on Dangerfields and then having to go do your truck route. At a certain point, a lot of people give up the Dangerfield, right? They say, you know what, it's not worth it anymore. But for you to have this viral success, to find a different avenue for your career, especially one that usually stereotypically is reserved for younger comics who may be more indigenous to it, it is a success story. When you think about your stand-up career, and here you come to the Park West next week, do you see it that way? Do you see the perseverance? Do you say, hey, I'm a successful stand-up?
Oh, absolutely. But now I gotta maintain it. I gotta keep going. You know, it's all how you brought up. You know, I come from a very strict traditional Italian upbringing. It's hard work. I would do shows before I had my own show now at the Borgata. They would book you there 7 nights. I would literally drive back and forth to the Borgata, which is in Atlantic City. I live in Staten Island. I lived in Jersey. The school bus route was in Staten Island. So I would go back and forth, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Staten Island, for 7 nights in a row. I mean, come on. It's sacrifice. I left my family on a cruise ship in Bermuda to fly back home on a propeller plane, sitting next to a guy holding a live chicken to film a pilot that went nowhere. You know, you got to pay your dues. Yeah. And I'm still fighting the fight. Now I got to hit the Midwest and California. It's a lot of work to do.
Vic DiBattista is the stand-up comedian who will be at the Park West next Saturday night for a night of stand-up. Of course, Vic, a New York City comedian in the tri-state area who went viral and now has millions and millions of followers on YouTube. Vic, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us tonight. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks, Justin. And I really can't wait to taste the Chicago-style pizza when I'm there.